listening to New Layer, a design podcast with Tanner Christensen and Jasmine Friedel.
Often when we talk about design, what we're talking about are the core skills.
Okay.
What we tend to not talk about and what we don't really see taught in most formal education, studies and things, are the soft skills.
What are soft skills?
It's a great question. So to me, when we say soft skills, what I think about are the mushy things that are not really part of the core work that a designer does. So things like communication skills. How do you communicate with others? How do you sell your designs? How do you get other people excited about your work or your ideas? As well as things like collaboration. So when and where and how do you pull other people in so they can collaborate with you and you can work as a team? So those kind of things.
Right. So core design skills end up being the things that you learn, which actually like compose your craft. And so, you know, we've talked about with product design, we think of that as product thinking, interaction design, visual design. And there's all sorts of like smaller skills that body up to those things. And then the soft skills are these complementary skills that really help you like execute that work. And so in the environment where you're, or the scenario where you're working with a team or at a company, that often means that you have to work with people. And so there's a lot of sort of interpersonal skills that you need to develop in order to apply those core skills to get results.
Yeah, exactly. So obviously these kind of skills, they matter for really anyone who works across any industry in any kind of role, right? But we're going to talk about them today just within the context of product design.
Okay.
So just to be clear here, when I say like the soft skills, and I'm talking about them in the context of like mushy, the way I think about soft skills really comes down to human interaction. And we're soft, squishy things in real life versus like the hard mechanical components of like a computer. So soft skills to me is very much anything that has to do with another human being.
Right. And it, you know, these aren't necessarily like emotional things. They're still things that can be listed as requirements and can be measurable. And you can develop them as skills over time. When we think of things like communication, you know, there's things that we might say, well, oh, hey, that's just how I am. That's my style. That's how I talk. What we're talking about is sort of like how you use that communication to get results. And there's ways that you can refine your communication as you grow as a designer. And that actually might be something that's on a job rubric or a level requirement or a job description is great communication. And so, you know, knowing what that means in this context of product design and knowing how to develop that is really important.
Well said. So again, I think when we talk about design, and if you're just starting out in your career, you're going to be focused really highly on the craft itself. Like, can you execute the visual design? Do you know how to think through interaction flows and all those kind of things, right? But to really set yourself apart from the competition or from your peers and things, if you learn to invest really heavily in these soft skills, you're going to stand out, right? Because
right.
The way that we get things done as designers is not necessarily just through the visuals or the prototypes or any of these kind of things. It's being able to hand those things off to a peer or work in collaboration with them and actually see your designs come to fruition, right? And the only way you do that is by working together.
Right. And so like when you were talking about, you know, in school and things like that, you're like developing those core skills, you know, what that sometimes looks like, especially when you're going to get a job, is you've created a portfolio, something that represents all of those core skills bundled up into case studies or examples or whatever that is. When you get to really first sort of demonstrate those skills, other than like writing great case studies, is going into an interview. And that's when people are actually going to be looking for more than just your core skills. They're going to be looking for you as sort of that full package. And what you add on to is sort of projected into how you'll be as part of a team or to fill this role, or, you know, will be able to develop the product further through these things. So what, maybe we should give some examples of what we're talking about. So we mentioned communication, we mentioned collaboration. What are other common soft skills that come up as necessary for product design?
So again, the way that I'm thinking about this is in terms of like the mushy stuff. So for me, this is things like, let's see, establishing a brief, that would be like an example, or like defining documentation. That's a form of communication, I think. Like those are kind of examples, or hosting a critique and like how you perform in a critique with your peers. Those would be another example. what comes to mind for you?
Yeah, I would bucket those all under sort of communication, and those are ways that you can show great communication. We're actually talking at work a lot about, you know, is writing the best way or one of the main ways to show that you can communicate well about design. Collaboration is one you mentioned. One that I've sort of been pretty bullish about is self-awareness. Self-awareness is a skill that you can develop. It's sort of like seeing yourself in the same way that others see you. Humility is another one that often comes up when you're thinking of companies and how they want to build culture. Do they want a culture full of egotistical people? Just because they're like going only for superstars, and that sometimes comes at the cost of, you know, like really being able to toot your own horn. Or do they want, you know, a team where, you know, we're sort of like giving credit where credit's due and making sure that everybody feels comfortable, and it's not really about the person, it's about the great outcomes that people have. So humility, learning comes to mind, like a growth mindset.
Mm-hmm. Another one, the standard cliche one, is empathy, the ability to mm-hmm. be empathetic and mm-hmm. both with users and your counterparts.
Right. And sometimes we'll see that as like, you know, being an advocate for users or being an advocate for customers or understanding customers, or like, you know, it might like execute or show itself in work that shows a customer journey or something like right. that. What else?
And spans like a gamut in that example. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's probably a lot more we could come up with if we...
Yeah, I mean, and really it comes down to, I think, the values that the organization has. Like, how do we expect to work together, and what are the things that will make this great, or what are the things that will detract from this?
And you mentioned this a second ago, but I want to kind of double down on it. When we're interviewing designers to fill roles at our companies, we are looking for these things. In fact, so much so that these are usually very explicitly drawn out in the rubric for how to evaluate mm-hmm. someone, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I was just thinking, another one that came to mind is like proactivity, leadership. Those are sort of soft skills. Can you step in and manage, lead? Self-regulation is another one, especially when we think of coming into a critique environment where you might be giving feedback. Self-regulation could say, like, if you get tough feedback, do you know sort of how to manage your emotions and your responses to be able to take that in? Now I'm just in example mode. How many can I come up with?
Well,
it's a game.
Help me understand here. Let's talk about this. When you are interviewing someone and you're trying to like evaluate some of these skills, and again, usually they're drawn out and as part of the evaluation process, what does that look like for you? So maybe if you can give an example of like, how would you word that question as part of that rubric, or like, how is that articulated for that process?
I'd probably back up before the question, and I'll give an example from when I led the team at Udacity. So I came in as a new leader. The team was pretty established. One of the things as a new leader, as a good practice, is not to just go in and change everything, but to take some time and observe and to listen to the needs of the business, listen to the needs of the team, and then sort of craft strategies around that. So the first thing that we did was we just did a brainstorm session, which was prompted by a question like, what are the things that we value on a team? And I was really looking at to come up with a collection of both core skills and soft skills in order to create a rubric to which we could interview by. And so we ended up coming up with, I wanted a short list. I wanted maybe just 6 or 7 things, because when you're interviewing, you don't want to have a checkbox of like 20 different skills you're looking for in addition to your core skills. You want just sort of an understanding of what are your main values to evaluate against. And so we came up with, I think it was like communication and collaboration might have been one. Proactivity and drive, I think, was another. And then there was another one. Maybe it's like a learner's mindset and humility. Or I might be pulling those from another example too. I don't exactly remember. But what we did was we sort of like grouped these and things that felt familiar and agreed upon them as a team, because those were the kinds of teammates that we believed would come in and work well with the team and contribute to great work. And so once we decided on those, then we, you know, ended up writing out descriptions of those, like, what does this look for in an interviewing setting? You know, how might you see through somebody's work examples of this? And so, for example, how do you see collaboration when you're interviewing somebody or even looking at a portfolio? And so then you can craft questions around that. Like, very simply, if somebody's presenting their work, it's just like, oh, who did you work with? What role did they play? And whether or not somebody proactively brings up something like, oh yeah, this is a time where, you know, we actually kind of couldn't agree as a team, and here's how we resolved this through communication and collaboration. So I think it's almost more important to have the values agreed upon than it is to like try and get at everything in an interview. Especially because when you're interviewing, people are generally going to present things to you and you're going to be able to find little nuggets within their presentation. And if you don't see them, that's when it's your job to really dive into them.
Yeah, exactly. So it can be tricky. So that's something I heard a long time ago when I first started interviewing, was if the person being interviewed says I a lot versus mm-hmm. we or the team, that might be a signal. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, when you're interviewing or when you're interviewing someone, you want to have clarity around what their role was, right?
Right. And the I, we thing is interesting because it can either point to humility versus having an ego.
Yep.
It can actually point to you were the only one doing the thing versus, you know, you were on a team. So without sort of getting in and knowing where that's coming from, it can be sort of hard to judge. On the flip side, if somebody says we too much, sometimes I start to suspect, depending on the context, that they actually didn't do this work themselves. They may have just sort of tagged along with somebody else who led the work and are using we to sort of cover the fact that they didn't have any ownership in this. So there's like sort of like ends of the spectrum that without context, you really, it's really difficult to sort of evaluate or judge where that's coming from.
And as you mentioned, as someone who is interviewing, your job, if you're not getting a good signal, is like if the person being interviewed isn't providing that context, your job is really to kind of try to pull it out as best you can, right?
Right.
Without biasing the interview, of course.
Right. So, and in a consistent way across candidates, it's really hard to say, you know, you interview somebody and say, oh, they were great at collaboration simply because they talked about it. Whereas the next person, you can't say they were poor at communication if they didn't talk about it in their sort of absence of data. So that's why we sort of try and ask the same questions in different interviews to get at the same things. That's a little bit more on interviewing than it is on soft skills, though.
Right. So again, going back to the soft skills, again, it's something that I don't think we as a design industry talk enough about. Mm-hmm. I really don't. Tools, you can go on Twitter, for example, and everyone is talking about tools. In some cases, people are talking about like the principles of design. Some people might get into like philosophy or theory, and that's all good. But we really don't talk enough about these like really crucial soft skills. And I think a testament to that fact is the talk you did not too long ago on the mm-hmm. subject of self-awareness. And I think it got this just really great positive reception because people were so hungry for this conversation on, look, I know that my core skills matter, but they're not getting me to a place where I need to be in my career. What's missing? And more often than not, what's missing are these soft skills. And right. Some are easier than others. So like, you know, our first two examples were communication and collaboration. Mm-hmm. I think those are our first two because, I mean, at least for me, they come readily to mind. They're just so universal. Things like self-awareness and a growth mindset, those are a little bit further out. Like, we just don't talk enough about it.
Right. And I think it's because, you know, in the context of an interview, and again, like we are generally sort of gearing this towards people who are earlier in their careers. And so as you're building this set of soft skills, when you get into your first interview, that actually comes up directly. You are communicating about design. You are telling people how you arrived where you did through a team because you're going to be in that environment. But you're right. Things like self-awareness, things like self-regulation, things like the growth mindset, those aren't as obvious. And so, yeah, I did this talk and I was trying to be a little bit provocative, maybe a little clickbaity with the title, but it's like the one skill, I forgot what the title was, but it's like the one skill that you need is self-awareness. And I hold to that being a very, very, very valuable skill, because if you are self-aware and truly self-aware, you will be able to know what your other skills are. You'll be able to know what your other soft skills are, and you'll be able to know where you stand with your core skills too. And if someone can get at whether they're getting to know you as, you know, a teammate or a manager, if someone can get to that self-awareness right away, then they can trust your evaluation of the other things. And that's a super, super rare thing. It's also something that you develop over time. And so that's something that, you know, most folks who are sort of coming into their first roles haven't quite gotten down yet.
This leads nicely into a big question that I would have on this, which is, because these things aren't talked about very often, it can be hard to know what to learn or like what you need to invest in and then go about finding resources for doing that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that applies to all sorts of skills. It's like, am I going to work on my visual design or my interaction design or my product thinking? Or now I have to work in communication and collaboration and self-awareness. Like, where's the resource where I just learn about all of them? And in reality, like, we develop our skills over our entire careers. You and I, even though we've made it, you know, substantially far in our careers, we're still learning and we're still growing. This is a growth mindset skill that I'm talking about, understanding that you have gaps and that you have opportunities and that you actually have to put in work towards that. But the thing that you have to do is really focus on a few things at a time, understand where you're at, understand where you want to be, look a couple of notches ahead in your progression and find ways, find strategies to actually get that growth. And it works for soft skills just like it does for your core skills.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think that often a lot of these things, the way they come about for individuals is through not necessarily mistakes, but like shortcomings, right? So I'll give you an example.
I'm ready.
In my own personal life, you know, I've been at this for a very long time. I've done a lot of hopefully good work, I would say impactful work and out in the world. I've been able to help mentor and guide other people. I've led teams and I've been part of really good constructive teams. But I know that some area that I really am lacking on is my communication skills. Mm-hmm. Like I'm a prolific writer. I write all the time, but I have a lot of improvement to be done in terms mm-hmm. of how I communicate with certain parties and how, like, what information I withhold and what information I share and how I share and how I make people feel heard and comfortable mm-hmm. and all these things. But the only way that I really learned, like, you know, wow, my communication actually isn't as good as it could be, was because I've been doing this so long. And finally someone sat me down and said, hey man, this is not cutting it. Like,
right.
Where you're at in your career, you should be better than this. Mm-hmm. How do we get you there? And I think that's just true for most of our careers. So both for the core skills and these soft skills we're talking about, often the way that you're going to have to learn that you're lacking in them is just through time and experience and suddenly realizing, oh, they asked for this really nice visual prototype, but I don't know how to do that. Now you need to go kind of work on their prototyping skills, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree with that?
I think so. I mean, this goes back to self-awareness. It's like, you know, when somebody came to you, they were evaluating you and saying you're not there yet. You had to come to a realization that you weren't there yet. And maybe you agreed with that. Maybe you didn't. Same thing with, you know, getting better at prototyping. If you think you're already there, you've arrived and you're the best prototyper and you have nothing to learn, you won't be able to see the gaps that you have. So there's some sort of like, how do you identify the gaps? And I think the simple answer to that is you end up getting feedback on all these things. Once you know that these are valued things or these are requirements, either for you, you're talking about sort of personal growth that relates to your design career, or in what you're held accountable for doing every day, you sort of have to say, here's where I think I am. Where do you, expert who can evaluate me well, where do you think I am? And then let's discuss those gaps.
That was going to be my very next question for you.
Beat you to it.
Like, self-awareness, I completely agree. That's a core part of this. But is it anyone else in your atmosphere? Is it their responsibility, or I don't know how to put this. Is it their responsibility to help you kind of identify these gaps, right? Like, who ultimately is responsible for that? So obviously you as an individual, you need to be building your self-awareness and like identifying these key soft skills that you might be lacking in. Ideally, you'd have a good manager who could also help point these things out for you. But are there other people you think that should be helping you?
I mean, I think this goes back to our mentorship conversation, which is you can have all kinds of people who help you grow in your career. You 100% are responsible for any of your growth, despite whether you have a manager who it's their job to coach and support and guide you. And the reason that you're responsible is that if you don't want to grow or you don't identify those gaps, you won't grow. And no effort or initiatives by anyone surrounding you will be effective unless you are willing to do that. And that's really the growth mindset again. It's a combination of self-awareness, being willing to identify those gaps, and then growth mindset, which is saying, hey, and I actually want to learn from this.
The problem here, I think, is that the way you're describing it, it's very cyclical. It's mm-hmm. like you have to have self-awareness to know what problems what other soft skills you're missing, and then you can go work on those. But if you don't have that self-awareness, how do you start developing it? I think for any of these soft skills, like, how do you start to get better at them?
This is interesting. I actually think a growth mindset is the first thing that you need. And this is from time spent working in education. I didn't actually know the difference in my adult life between a growth mindset and a fixed mindset. A fixed mindset is just sort of like, this is how it is. And I think we've all come across many people in our lives who don't believe that they need to change because they are great the way they are, or they're comfortable the way they are, or that's their style or whatever it is. And what a growth mindset does is it sort of like opens the door to change, and it brings in a willingness to change and say, hey, it's a aspect of humility to say, hey, I'm not there yet. I need to learn. And I think that would be the first thing. And you can, I mean, you can learn to have a growth mindset when you're a kid, you can learn it as an adult, but you have to be able to just say, I might have something to learn. If you can't do that, it is, again, it's impossible for somebody to help you beyond that. And so I've managed a lot of people. I've managed people who actually I can't help. It is the most discouraging thing. But for folks who say, I don't have anything to learn, or the next step, that piece of self-awareness, which I actually think layers onto a growth mindset. So once you say, I have something to learn, then you have to say, help me find my gaps. If I help somebody find their gaps and they won't acknowledge them as gaps, I also can't help them. And so, you know, there's things that I can do as a manager to help with self-awareness and say, hey, here's our job rubric. Here's where you fall. Have them self, or maybe even before that, have them do a self-evaluation and say, you know, hey, where do you think you fall? And then I do mine independently. And we come together and say, hey, like, you know, we're not actually looking at self-awareness as a skill, but, you know, hey, in all of your core skills and the other soft skills like communication and collaboration, you think you're a level above where you are at. I actually think you're at your level in these and maybe below your level. Let's talk about the examples that we both have to provide to show where we actually think this evaluation should be. That's usually a super successful tactic to build self-awareness, which then, you know, in leads to any of these other individual soft skills or core skills where we can work through those together. But if someone doesn't agree with that side-by-side evaluation and says, no, like you took those examples out of context, you don't know the full situation. That's something, and I've had this happen with somebody recently, at a previous job, but there's really just very little that you can do there. You kind of have to throw up your hands and say, okay, well, until you're willing to admit that you have opportunity to learn and to admit that you might have gaps, because we all do, like, that's on you.
Yeah, those are some really good, like, frameworks, I would say, even for how to approach a number of the soft skills. Mm-hmm. And it makes me think, like, there's actually a lot of resources and tools available to people to improve these skills. And maybe we just don't think about it enough because, again, we're not talking about it enough because it doesn't seem like it's part of that core skill set, even though it kind of is, right?
Right. Because I think, I mean, the things that we publish and we talk about a lot, and that we put in job descriptions are the sort of well-known things, the core skills and maybe the communication and collaboration, which are pretty straightforward. But unless we're actually saying, hey, we want to have, you know, we want you to have a growth mindset. You don't get to like really scratch your head and say, oh, what does that mean in this application? Or we need proactivity. Okay, well, what does that mean within this, you know, context of this company? We don't really talk about those in those scenarios as publicly as we could.
Yeah, totally. That's actually what I was just thinking. Like, I've been fortunate to be part of companies that have tool sets designed and developed to help anyone in the company improve in these areas. So for example, Atlassian is very famous for their, what they call playbooks. Mm-hmm. If you don't know what this is, just mm-hmm. Google it, Atlassian playbooks. Some that lend themselves more towards what we're talking about than others. But overall, I think it's a good example of a company that has invested in saying, look, we know that communication matters, so we're going to come up with a guide on how to have constructive critiques.
Right.
Or we know that self-awareness matters, so we're going to come up with a guide to have personal retrospectives, or like, post-meeting journaling or
sure,
something like that.
Sure.
And the problem, as you just outlined, was these companies have these tools, but they're not as broadly shared or talked about.
Yeah, we're really just sort of getting into a culture of transparency. And I'm thinking, at Intercom, we just launched this site, intercom.design. It's a site where you can learn all about the open roles, but also just sort of get an insight on what it's like to work as a designer at Intercom. One of the things, or a couple of the resources we've shared are how to have impact as a product designer. And then there's another one that's like we're actually sharing our job levels, like at each level between soft skills and core skills, what are we looking for? And Johnny Birch has actually done some work on progression. I think it's called progression.fyi that shares a lot of companies. Like there's just a whole list of companies that have shared their public job levels. And I bet if you got into each one of those, you'd see a collection of soft skills and you'd probably be able to triangulate amongst, you know, a bunch of them, the most shared soft skill set. But I think one of the challenges here is that, back to what you said earlier, like in schools, this isn't something that's being taught. And from my experience as a teacher, when we wrote the curriculum, we really didn't build in opportunities to collaborate. Usually when you collaborate in school, that tends to be a group project and it's collaborating with people who have the same skill set as you, and maybe you're acting in different roles and playing like the project manager and, you know, the craftsperson or the strategist or something like that. But in reality, if you were actually to translate those roles into a real environment, you would have completely different skills and you might actually butt heads more than you do in a group. I don't know, not all student projects go well. And we also don't in school like work on communication. I think at the very end of a 15-week course, we had the classmates stand up and present their work, and we gave a little bit of coaching on how to do that, but it's not in the same mechanisms of practice and repetition that we do with other pieces, the more core skills. You know, we have you practice like your typography over and over and over again, and you get familiar with interaction patterns through practice. These are something that you sort of come out and it's like, cool, now you need to learn all this stuff. And by the way, you need to have this like nailed by the time you get your first job.
Yeah, I'm kind of optimistic here that that's not the case. Like, ideally, junior designers would come in and the company or their team would understand, like, you know, they're going to have to improve on these soft skills.
Right. Well, in reality, like, soft skills are something you develop far before you start your design education, right? So growth mindset, humility, proactivity, communication, collaboration, these are things that come with you in life. You know, if you choose to be a very aggressive communicator, or if you are great at giving detail, like that's not something you have to only learn within the context of school or a job. And so you sort of come in with a foundational, like, leveling of them in some way, but now you're learning how to apply these within the context of, say, product development.
Do you think that there is an opportunity for students or junior designers or really anybody to come together in, like, I don't know how to explain this, some kind of like group setting where they can experiment and improve these things, like these skills, outside of the context of like a formal education or a design job? Like, are there forums or any kind of like in real life meetups or other opportunities just to like say, look, we're going to sit down and work on our communication. Here's a scenario. Let's go at it. Or look, we're going to work on our self-awareness. Here are some prompts. Let's sit down and just like individually kind of meditate or something. Like, do you think there's an opportunity for this?
Maybe. I'm actually like trying to rack my brain if there are things like that exist. Mm-hmm. You know, I know like AIGA does Portfolio Day and Portfolio Day. And you can bring in your portfolio and sort of present your work. And that's sort of like it's just like a practice test, and you'll get feedback on more of your core skills in your presentation. But that's an example of that. I think, you know, there's probably instances with mentors where, you know, I did something with my interns at Udacity where I actually ran them through an interview process and gave them feedback on it so that they had an understanding of what the full process would be and how someone would evaluate you, not only on your core skills, but, hey, you talked so fast. Like, it was so hard to understand you. The whole presentation was bogged down with context that actually sort of diluted what you were trying to say. So being able to use those sort of one-on-one mentorship relationships to do that. But I don't know. I mean, I'm sure we could do more of that.
You got me thinking that, like, another thing that anyone can do is just being proactive and asking for feedback, right? Like,
oh yeah.
At any point in your career, you should be able to go to any of your peers, your mentors, your managers, anyone really, and say, look, we've worked together for however long. How do you think I'm doing in terms of my communication or my forward thinking? Do you feel like I'm empathetic? Am I driving a vision? Like, all of these kind of things you should be able to ask for feedback on, right?
Right. Yeah. And I think the key things you need are, A, knowing what that thing is, like what are you trying to learn about? What skills are you looking for? And if you're working somewhere that has sort of skill requirements, that's an easy place to start. If you're not in a role and you're just trying to figure out how to get those things, like we've listed off a bunch of those, and then you have to have people who are in a position to observe you in order to give you feedback. Cause there's, I mean, sometimes you'll ask somebody who hasn't actually observed you in that scenario. And it's like, you know, and maybe I could ask you like, hey, do you think I'm a good collaborator? And unless you've seen me in action, or we've tried to collaborate together and we're actually collaborating together right now, but it would be really hard for you to say, oh, I actually can say, you know, this is what I think the, you know, the group of feedback is. And great feedback, there's this sort of SBI model, which is, I think it's situation or scenario, and then behavior, and then impact. And so it's like, in this situation or in this scenario, this is the behavior that you did, and this is the impact that it had. So if we've worked together, and I can say, or, and I ask you about collaboration, and you say, hey, you know, when we were preparing for this podcast, which is this situation, and then the behavior was, you know, hey, you really stepped back and didn't contribute to the framing of how we were going to talk about this. That's the behavior. And the impact was, I really had to take this on independently. And so then you've given me feedback that I actually didn't step up when I needed to, but I have an example to tie that back to. And so it feels really real to me. So there's actually like, I'm asking someone who matters, because they've had insight into this, and I'm asking specifically about a skill, and I'm able to learn from that.
Yeah, that's really great. And I'd love for us to focus a little bit more on these kind of, this little toolbox of things that people could do to both identify their, where they're maybe lacking in their soft skills and improve on them. So, you know, asking for feedback's one, maybe trying to find a community that can help you in these, like experiment these things. But let's talk about what other things either we use in our own career to level up or that we kind of give to others. So one that comes immediately to mind that we've talked about before is the book Discussing Design, mm-hmm. which is a phenomenal book that really covers many different situations related to just like showing work and giving feedback on it and asking for feedback on it in very strong ways. So it's a really great book.
And those are two, that's like around communication and collaboration in a way.
Yeah.
Another one that I love on communication is actually the TED Talks book. So it's, you know, it's meant for public speaking, but what I learned is about sort of storytelling and framing and different like really practical ways to do that. And I found that really useful.
I'll throw out one more communication one here.
Okay.
The book, Articulating Design Decisions, mm-hmm. phenomenal book. Oh, I think yeah. I've recommended it on a previous yeah. Podcast episode, but it's just really great for giving you examples of how to communicate under certain circumstances and like what you would do, if you like butt up against a wall, for example. So that's a really good one I'd recommend. In regards to self-awareness and kind of that wheelhouse of skill sets, I would say, honestly, one of the best things I've done is meditation, just daily mm-hmm. 10-minute meditations where I can kind of reflect on what I want to accomplish that day, but also like, how did the previous day go? What kind of frustrations did I feel? And what can I do to be better today than I was yesterday?
Right. So using a mindfulness approach, self-awareness is a tough one. I think I've mentioned this before, but the talk that I did, it was really interesting for me to sort of go and do the research. And what I dug into was, Tasha Yurick has a TED Talk and also a book, that really talks about self-awareness. And so you can go, you know, listen to her 20-minute talk and that will be foundational. And then you can go listen to my 20-minute talk, which, you know, attempts to put that in the context of design. But I think self-awareness is really about having, I think that's self-evaluation, and then having the second person be able to sort of, I was going to say corroborate. Yeah, corroborate on that evaluation. This is not a crime. And then there's another piece of like how I think this is the where mindfulness comes into is like, instead of saying, you know, why things happen, why you're acting in the way that you are, why your skills where it at, it is just sort of like be more objective about it and say what instead.
That's really good. I like that. Thinking more a little bit about the bridge between communication and kind of like ownership, or like taking ownership of a project or an effort mm-hmm. is the RACI model, the RACI model. Have you heard of this?
RACI, is that the same as DACI?
Right. It's okay. Like basically the same thing.
Another Atlassian thing.
No, I think this one comes from Google actually. Okay. But basically it stands for when you're doing a project or working on a feature, you need to consider four separate groups of people. Mm-hmm. One is responsible. Who's responsible? This is usually one person. probably you, maybe not, the person who's ultimately responsible for the work. Next comes up accountable. So who is like accountable for the work? And that's a little bit different, right? Because they're not necessarily responsible, but they still need to contribute to the work. Then there's contributors. And this is explicitly who is actually doing the work, right? This is engineers, designers, researchers. You listed all those people. And then the last one is informed. So just who needs to be updated generally on what's going on with the project. And this is a really good model that I was actually just made aware of not too long ago. It's a good model because it makes sure that you're communicating effectively with all, not effectively, you're communicating with all the proper stakeholders for a project and ensuring that they're staying up to date on the work, right? As you work through it.
Right. And the DAC is, I think maybe it's just Atlassian's version where it's driver and approver and then contributors and informed.
Right.
And I think what that does is it actually like allows you to practice a role in which you have to modify your communication and your contribution in a certain way as a group. And everyone playing their role together makes for an effective collaboration. What are other ones?
Yeah. So I'm trying to think like in your day-to-day function as a director of design, like what tools are you using to make sure that your soft skills are up to snuff and also like, you know, growing and improving every day? Do you have specific tool sets or like, do you have guides that you use?
That's a good question.
She's thinking through it.
I'm thinking, I think, you know, I do a lot of reading, probably more so now than I have before, and I'm going to blank on everything great that I've read in the past year or two. But I like to think of resources as, you know, my team. I'm getting a lot of feedback from my team. Not always positive feedback. I've just learned that I communicate differently in groups than I do in individual scenarios. And that's something that I have to now get into a habit of observing and learning from that. Or not, I mean, just learning my behaviors in order to understand how to get that more consistent. So getting feedback from my team, my coach, my executive coach is another place where I'm sort of learning and getting feedback.
I want to just double down on that one. Like, I think this is I think historically it's been taboo, but I'm seeing it more and more start to like bubble up in, especially in the tech industry, where having a personal coach,
almost akin
to a therapist, yes,
yeah,
is becoming really vital to success because they're someone who is there to really help identify your gaps and help you work through them on your own, right? And that could be that kind of source of truth, not source of truth, but a good guiding light.
Well, third party evaluator. And I think, you know, we're talking about like gaps and areas of opportunity, but I think something that we're sort of like glossing over is actually knowing when you've mastered something and you're really great at something too. Like perhaps another soft skill could be productivity. That might be really valuable in fast-paced environments where you need to churn work out. And my coach the other day, you know, I was like, oh man, I'm feeling guilty about not getting all this stuff done. I need better habits and structures that I can use in order to be more productive. And she said, you know, you actually already strike me as a really productive person. And she gave me some examples and I was like, oh, maybe it's not about productivity. Maybe it's about prioritization. So yeah, having a third party evaluator is really helpful. And I think, you know, all these circumstances where I'm looking at people, my team, my coach, my boss is another one. They're all in a role where they actually get to observe behaviors in one form or another and give feedback. And so then I'm taking that in and sort of collating that all and synthesizing it and bringing it together and giving some, bringing my own evaluation to that. And I mentioned my boss because, you know, there's some structures that are great at getting feedback and telling you where you're at that are normally built into your employment, which is performance reviews, and ours are coming up shortly. And from that, I'll get, you know, I've done a self-evaluation, I've gotten peer feedback, and now my boss is going to put that together and give a version of that to me that he feels best represents my performance. And that's a great opportunity for me to take back and say, okay, I'm doing great in these things. Keep doing what I'm doing. Here are the areas that I want to sort of build up proficiency in. Now I'm going to put together a plan to grow in that. And I think the reason that I'm not citing, you know, it's sort of more like spot check-ins. Like I don't see my coach every day. Don't see my boss every day. My boss and I don't go over feedback for me all the time. Like we got other stuff to work on. Same with my teammates. Those are sort of these spot moments because I think the further you get up in your career, the more it is your own responsibility to have that self-awareness and be able to self-identify, hey, here's actually where I'm really good. And, you know, here's where I'm growing in and here's the plans I'm making. I have to do that all proactively because at my level, it's my job. It's not up to someone else to continually to pull me upward. That's my growth is on me.
Yeah. And something you mentioned a little bit ago was if you want to really know what soft skills matter for like your company or a specific company at a certain level of career, it's good to like look at how those are actually outlined. And I know at least every company I've ever talked to, they have these outlined already. They know that like, you know, a designer who's just coming into the company should be proficient in these skills. And then, you know, the next level up, what should they do? What's different? And on and on, right? And so, and I think you can also see some of these often in job postings. They're not as explicit. I think you just mentioned Intercom is going to start talking about these leveling skills mm-hmm. publicly, but if in the absence of that, you can always just look at general job postings and what's listed for requirements there. And something that you might want to do that I've actually started doing a little bit in my own life, in my own career, is I will look at those skill sets. So what's that bulleted list of skills, soft skills? I will, on a weekly basis, sit down and say, okay, here's what I know needs to be at the next level. Here, what I need to work on for the next level. How do I think I'm doing on that? And I'll write mm-hmm. a quick sentence with an example of here's where, for example, I communicated effectively, or where I led a vision, or where I prioritized a really complex problem, right? And then every month, what I've been doing now is I will kind of step back, look at all those lists that I've made every week and say, okay, is there a specific area I really need to focus on myself? Mm-hmm. And then I'll spend that whole month trying to prioritize that one skill and letting everyone I know that I'm working with, let them know that I like, this is what I need to improve on. Hey, you know, everybody, this month, I'm really trying to improve my communication. Keep an eye out for these things.
So then they can give you feedback.
Exactly. And kind of setting the stage for my own growth in that way. But again, holding all accountability for myself.
And then when do you identify when you sort of like made progress in that?
So again, that's a weekly basis where mm-hmm. every week I go and I kind of give myself a little rating out of 10 and I list a sentence as to why I gave myself that rating. If it's a positive rating, I give an example. If it's a really negative rating, I give an example. And then just weekly, week after week, I kind of evaluate, am I getting better or worse? And by having those examples listed out each week, I can then say, look, I tried this thing and it didn't work. That I need to do something different there, right? And when I do things really well, I say, okay, how can I double down on this thing that I did?
Right. And then you're actually collecting, by writing that down, you're actually collecting a body of examples that you can use, you know, when someone's when you're sort of like evaluating together with somebody, for example, it sort of creates a narrative of your progress as well.
Yeah. And honestly, something that has worked out really well for me is by having this like single document of all these skills I'm trying to work on and these examples. And sometimes, if someone gives me, feedback on these skill sets via like email or something, I ask for permission to copy that quote. And then I include that in my document. And so come review time, I can actually say, look, here's all the things I worked on and here's what I improved on. And here's some quotes saying how well I did. And like come review time, I have all the feedback I need to just say like, I'm doing better and here's examples, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it sets me up for success there as well.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Cool. So we've actually covered a lot here. Mm-hmm. There's so much more we could cover around soft skills and what those really are and how to improve on them, but it's just not enough. Like we're not going
to
get through
it today. Yeah, I feel like I would have loved to come out of here with like a comprehensive list, and maybe that's a discussion we can have with a community offline because there's so many things that are out there. And I was even saying like, oh, wait, is humility actually a skill? Is that something you're going to develop further over time? Maybe the growth mindset is the carrier of that humility, and maybe humility is more of a value. Thinking about optimism, like optimism is something we want or a passion. Like those are things that we want in people who come on our teams. And, you know, we might see those in job descriptions. Would we actually evaluate those things over time? And the possession of those should grow in mastery. Maybe not, but maybe those are just values. And so there's all kinds of things that might be required in somebody, and there's a certain core set that you want to grow over time. So I think we've actually covered a lot of the core ones, or the more familiar ones, not to confuse with core design skills, but the more familiar soft skills that you'll see over time.
And that's what I would say here is like, you as an individual need to know what you value and how you can improve and the skills that will help you with those values, right?
Yep.
And then also you need to look at the kind of companies you want to work for or you are currently working for, and what do they value?
Right.
Because, you know, you and I can sit here and list all the soft skills we think are really important, but that might be completely different set than what some other you organization
value
or right?
what the organization values. Yeah. And then you're still doing that whole interview thing where you're like, are the things that I'm good at and or I value a match for what you're looking for? If they're not, are these things that I have the drive to be able to build up, to build my well-rounded skill set, to do the kind of work and work in the kind of a way and with the people that you have in your organization? Yeah,
exactly. So it's a tough situation, but hopefully people listening to this can take away at least the insight that there are these skills. We should be talking about them more as an industry. If you agree with us, like, go out on Twitter and start asking questions, start having these conversations.
Don't force people to tweet.
And then also on top of that, like, we all just need to have a high level of self-awareness, have these like ambitions to improve these soft skills because they are so crucial to the work we do as team members and peers to other designers. Right.
Yep. And I mean, thinking about growing in these skills is just like any other skill and who you are as a human. It's, you know, we have so much to learn and we have so much growth in front of us that sort of just having an openness to that and being willing to expand where we're proficient at, it just makes us better designers and better humans.
All right, we'll end here.
Okay.